He's lying about the arm wrestling match because whoever won got the day off, so he actually won and stuff. So, you know, this conversation we've been having the last few weeks has been a humbling experience for me, but it's also been an exciting experience because of the conversations I've been having with y'all throughout the week, whether it's through email, texting, phone calls, whatever. Some of you, this is your first week back to normal, whatever that looks like. Spring break's over, you're back to school, you're back in the routine, all that great stuff. And I'm glad that you're just now being a part of this conversation, because the conversation basically just talks about what I believe the Lord's calling us as the church. What does it look like for the local church and the relationship between the local church and the community that they're a part of? Because, friends, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what community you're a part of. There's people that are dying that are in desperate need of love and desperate need of hope. And that's one of the things that we're going to be praying about and journeying together through as a church and as friends and as family and stuff like that. And as Brian mentioned earlier, I didn't say this in the first service, some of the conversations I've been having with some people and everything, just to get it out there and stuff, is that I'm not going to be the guy who says, here's your programs and events of a way to get plugged into the community. I'm just not going to do that. What I'm going to do is it's going to be type of stuff to where it's going to be where we're going to build relationships with people that are in desperate need of that relationship. There was this deal, there was this instance to where there was this one pastor friend of mine that was talking to me, and he said that his church is known as the Turkey Church. It's like, the Turkey Church? What are you scared of, man? You know, and he said, we're known as the Turkey Church, and it's terrible. Because there's people in my church that are known as the turkey people, because all we do is deliver turkeys on Thanksgiving. And so when we go to these people, they're like, oh, you're the turkey church. You're the people that delivers turkeys to us. That's cool. And stuff. And basically what the pastor felt convicted about is the fact where people, yeah, they're grateful for turkeys, y'all, on Thanksgiving that are in need of that. They're grateful for food being delivered to their doorstep. There's nursing home people that are grateful for people to come and play songs for them. But it all comes down to the fact that we all have the same need as these people that have been forgotten by the church and forgotten by the community of Longview itself. They're in need of relationships. And so the bottom line for me is what God's doing in my life and what I feel like he's leading us as a church is, how do we become a church that builds relationships with people that are in desperate need of the hope and love of Jesus Christ? So this morning we'll be wrapping up our conversation on what that relationship between the church and the community is all about. Even though we'll be wrapping it up as far as me being up on stage and leading worship, and you're like, I am tired of seeing Paul Schaefer all service, you know? Even though that'll be over with and stuff, this definitely does not end the chapter of the story that we are a part of as a church and leading our community to the love of Jesus and the hope of Jesus Christ. The first week we talked about the church because I think that's important for us to know. You know, that's important for us to obviously describe. You know, what does the church mean to you individually? You know, because it's important to have our thoughts and our hearts in the place of knowing what the church is all about and what is Jesus' thoughts on the church. The week after, we talked about what does it look like for us to allow this community to feel the love of Jesus Christ. You know, that obviously looks a lot of different in all of our opinions, and God's gifted us in so many beautiful, amazing ways for us to show the love of Jesus in some kind of way. And that's something we're going to be kind of talking about this morning. But what I want to talk about this morning is that there's something called harmony that we're going to talk about, and that Paul talks about, the Apostle Paul. I'm going to talk about the harmony that I believe between the local church and the community, what that harmony is. And what it's about. I want us to start off in 1 Peter chapter 4, where Peter, again, we talked about this scripture. He talks about the gifts that we all have. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Peter's a passionate guy because he did life with Jesus. Peter was also a jacked up guy, you know, but he was a passionate man that was in love with Jesus because Jesus did what? He served him. He walked alongside him and he just loved him for who he was. He loved it for who he was. And so Peter is telling us that we all have these spiritual gifts in our lives. And one beautiful thing about the Lord is that I believe that the Lord is this creative artist. And I talked about this last Sunday. I believe the Lord is an artist. He's the perfection of an idea for an artist. And he has created each and every one of you here individually with these beautiful things that you can help build the kingdom of God. Because people always come up to me, man, I just can't lead worship, dude. I mean, you're up there in front, you're leading worship. That's obviously a bigger thing than what I can do. And I'm going to tell you right now that that's just not true. in the eyes of the Lord, in the heart of God, in the scriptures I've been reading about Jesus, the same block that I put in the kingdom of leading worship, whether it's between 5 people or 5,000 people, is the same block as it is when somebody goes and mows their neighbor's lawn. That is the same block that is building the kingdom of God. We all have different spiritual gifts, and I'm here. We got this church work day coming up, and I got to tell you that I really stink at building things and putting things back together and fixing things. I am just not good at that at all. I have friends that are really good at that, but I am not good at that. But there's one beautiful thing about what God puts a passion in you, things that you're even not good at, he brings another leader alongside for you to go with them and serve alongside them. That's what's beautiful about the Lord in doing life with one another and all the different talents that we have, is that God brings us together to use those talents to serve each other and to serve one another. So friends, when, as I was reading in scriptures and talking to you guys and everything, the Lord has just been really pointing something out to me. He's saying, Paul, I want you to do something. I want you to take the opportunities that are in front of you to serve well. Okay, now that's just kind of easier said than done. Had a great conversation with my community group Wednesday night when we were talking about, last Sunday we talked about some of us are just too busy, to impact the need in front of us and everything like that. And, I said last Sunday, I'm a single 28-year-old guy with no kids, and a lot of people just think I sleep in and play video games. And that's just not true, some of it's true, but not much, But there's parts of me, y'all, that were, we were sitting in a community group, and I was hearing these families and these people who have kids and stuff and have jobs that consume their worlds. And I just, one of the encouraging conversations we had, well, that's still a need in front of you. If you have a job right now that's consuming your world, you have coworkers that have need that is right in front of you. For some of you who are stay-at-home moms, I got to tell you, I'm so grateful for a mom and dad that took me to school and saw the need of spending time with their kids. There's something beautiful about that. That's the beautiful thing about the community of God. The community of God isn't just about going across the road or something, seeing a homeless man on the side of the road and saying, how can I serve you? How can I help you? The same impact, that same block that builds the kingdom, is the same impact that you have on your children's lives and that you have on your coworkers' lives. And I just don't think that I got that point across, too clearly, because I believe that's what Jesus is all about. He's not just saying, don't see all the ugliness or the things that are tragedy in front of you. See the need in front of you. And there's something beautiful about that when Jesus calls us to do that, to see the need in front of us. That's what loving the community is all about. I love in Galatians 5 because it also talks about, the opportunities in front of us to serve well, is that we've all, through a relationship with Christ, have gained this freedom in Christ. And praise the Lord for that freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from death. We have gained this freedom. But Paul talks about in Galatians 5, he says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So not only do we take the opportunities in front of us to serve well, friends, we take the opportunities in front of us to love well. To love well. There's a lot of us here who have circle of friends that we do a lot of life with, and I think that's beautiful. I have that to where it's a vulnerable conversation. There's real beautiful conversations in that. But one thing that the Lord has really been just tugging at my heart and calling me out is to say, expand your circle. Expand your circle for people that are in need of those relationships that you and your friends are providing each other. Expand your horizons to people that you maybe not have thought you could hang out with or love well. Expand that, because what Paul is talking to us is this freedom that we have is not this freedom to be selfish, but this freedom to be humble. There's a lot of freedom that comes when we can be humble before the Lord and show the ultimate love that only He can provide. So take, friends, the opportunities not only to serve well, but to love well. Because what I believe about Jesus, those two things, serving and loving, are the exact same thing. There's something beautiful about Jesus when he said, serve one another. When he would serve people, he was showing them love. When he was loving people and telling people to love people, he was telling them to serve them. And he was also serving them. There's something beautiful about that. And there's something really beautiful about the relationship between Jesus and Matthew. I got to be honest with y'all. As I go into the Gospels, you know, and I'm reading the Gospels, I'm a Luke fan. There's something about Luke that I just really love because just how the scriptures are being read and everything like that. I just really love Luke. You know, I get a lot of Jesus' life out of Luke. And this is kind of embarrassing to admit. I just kind of neglected the book of Matthew. You know, I just go to Luke, man. I read about Jesus. Go to John, you know, go to Mark. And just kind of forgetting about old Matthew. But I got to tell you, as I was just digging in scriptures and reading more and more about Jesus, I was drawn to the book of Matthew so much because I love how Matthew writes and how he puts in front of us the way that Jesus loved his community and loved people. And I also, friends, love the relationship between Jesus and Matthew. It talks about in Matthew 9, verse 9, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Jesus said, "Follow me and be my disciple." That's what Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and he followed him. Man, there is something about Jesus to where you read about all these tax collectors and all these people he hung out with, and you're like, what is his deal? Why can he not make this easy? Because obviously tax collectors at this time were not the coolest people to be around. You know, they weren't the people that you wanted to do life with or nothing like that. But the fact that Jesus invited Matthew to follow him, Matthew invites Jesus over to his house. And it says in Matthew 9, verse 10, later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many other tax collectors and other sinners. Seriously. But then the Pharisees saw this. They asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" That's hilarious. You know, I mean, you can read that and you could be like, this is so funny. You know, the way the Pharisees are just like, what is up with these guys? But come on, can we make it personal for a bit? And this is where I get like really emotional and stuff like that. How many times have I asked certain people, what are you doing life with them? You know, what do they have to offer you? Or me, you know, even was just like, you know, I could have somebody lay it on my heart. And I'm like, well, what can they offer me? Jesus. There's something beautiful about Jesus in the scriptures that we'll continue to read. Jesus was the type of man that was like, I want to offer you something. I want to give you the servant's heart. There's something that I want to communicate to you. And I want to do life with you. The religious leaders were dumbfounded that Jesus was spending so much of his time with these kinds of people. Tax collectors, more of these guys. Sinners, scum. But friends, isn't it great to know that we have a Jesus that even calls us out today? He calls us out personally, the sinners, us, me especially. Man, I'm the sinner right here on this stage in front of you. I am king of sinners. But Jesus still uses me and he still loves me. There's something beautiful about that. It goes on to say what Jesus talks about in this relationship of what it looks like in verse 12. When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy and not offer sacrifices, for I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." There's something beautiful about Jesus Christ, y'all, is that Jesus Christ does not have this filter that he looks through and says, you're reading the right books, you're listening to the right music. Paul, you got several different Bible apps on your, or you got several different reading plans on your Bible app. That's really good. But there's something beautiful about the Lord when we come before him and say, Lord, I'm jacked up, that he uses us. He uses us. There's something beautiful about a group of people to where we can get together and say, Lord, we don't have all the answers and we don't know how we're going to feed all the homeless here in Longview, Texas, or how we're going to meet the needs to every nursing home patient here in Longview, Texas, or, you know, love on everybody. But I'm telling you right now, if it just starts with our circles that we were talking about, if it starts with the people that he's put on our hearts and we just step out on faith and do it, he will provide some beautiful things that happen. I believe that I serve a God that's not only intimate, but he's powerful. I believe that I serve a God that when he puts dreams on our hearts, we just got to step out on faith and do it. Because that's where he shows his faithfulness. When we were singing about God, you're a faithful God. There's something beautiful when we step out on faith that God uses us. In Colossians 3, Paul talks about something really beautiful. He talks about this perfect harmony. He says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. All of those things represent Jesus Christ. If you read through the scriptures, you can notice that all those things that Paul is challenging us as followers of God, those are the exact beautiful things about Jesus that made him so different. He goes on in verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in this perfect harmony. I've been using the word harmony a lot. And stuff like Brian could say that I have, Alan and Beth, you know, we could be in prayer time together, you know, praying or just hanging out doing life. And I'll just say, yeah, man, the Lord's just singing a lot of, or the Lord's speaking a lot of stuff that's like harmony with what's going on in my life. You know, whether it's a book I'm reading or I may have seen a movie or something. I'm like, man, I just really sing a lot of harmony with what God's doing in my life. And, you know, as a musician, I need to explain the word harmony to you, okay? Harmony is a difficult thing to some regard because melody is easy. When we sing songs together, we jump on that melody line. You know, when I lead worship, I sing the melody. You join me and you sing the melody. But there's something beautiful about harmony. And the reason why in the musical term of harmony, what's beautiful about it is that it takes time to do. You got to find it. You got to find the harmony. You know, there's something about harmony. Harmony is a group of chords. It's a group of notes that just work together to create something beautiful that goes with the melody. Okay? Like in, as far as musical terms go. So harmony is known, it's also referred to the vertical aspect of music. Melody is referred to the horizontal. So when you got the vertical and the horizontal going, there comes to a match point to where something beautiful happens. The harmony matches with the melody. Friends, this morning when Paul's talking about when we come together in the true love of God and it's the perfect harmony, what I believe Paul is talking about and what he's saying and what these scriptures are saying to me and what Jesus is saying to me, the harmony in our lives is the gifts that God has given you. The gifts of your life. Man, that's hard to find. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want to use in me? Lord, I need to search this. I need to find this. But when you find it, it becomes beautiful. And the melody is simply the love of Jesus. So when you have the melody of Jesus and you have the harmony that you're trying to find those gifts, you're trying to find ways to serve, you're trying to find ways to love, when they match together, beautiful stuff happens. That's what Paul's talking about. When you come into the act of love, when you come into this passion of love, you find perfect harmony. One thing about Jesus that I love about Jesus is that he said in Matthew 20, verse 28, for even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to this earth not to be served, but he came to serve others and to give his life for a ransom for many. When Jesus says something like that, that's something that I just want to wrap my heart around, because the fact is that Jesus could have came to this earth and had whatever he wanted because he was all powerful. He was God. But he came as a servant. He came humble. He came patient. He came kind. There's something about the scriptures that really speak to me that's just like, Paul, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? You know, when you claim to follow me with the love of Jesus, what are the things that you're representing about me when I came to this earth? This morning, we come to a time as a church body to remember the beauty of Jesus' life, but most importantly, his love. Because honestly, Jesus' life would probably, he would even probably admit this, it would mean nothing if love hadn't been what it was about. If his service wasn't what it was all about. We come into a time to remember his love, the ultimate love he gave, the ultimate sacrifice he gave us. Communion is a remembrance of what Christ did for us and a celebration of what we receive as a result of his sacrifice, which is the freedom. It's the freedom of love, and it's the freedom that no longer bonds us by sin or death. Paul invites us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to examine our hearts before we take communion. So can we do that this morning as we continue to dig into Scripture, examine our hearts for what Jesus has in store for us whenever we leave this place? Because Jesus is doing beautiful things, y'all. I've gotten emails, I've gotten texts, I've gotten phone calls, face-to-face conversations of how the Lord is putting some passions in you and dreams in you to serve this community well. And friends, I can't wait to serve alongside you in that, because beautiful things will start happening in this community. The Lord's doing something in me about Ethiopia, Africa, and that I just cannot wait to explode with. You know, I just can't wait to explode with. There's something about the calling in our lives that gets us excited. but we can't allow the distractions of this world to get in our way of chasing after the faithfulness of God when we step out and believe that we serve a God who can move mountains, but also serve a God who stands beside us. One thing I want to share before we go into this intimate time with the Lord is lead us in scripture that talks about what Jesus did with his disciples before he broke bread and before he gave wine. Jesus pretty much knows how everything is about to go down. It talks about in scripture prior to what we're going to read. You know, he knows that somebody will betray him, one of his closest friends. He knows that he's going to be tortured and killed. With all these things going on in his head and at this moment, Jesus takes time with the men that he has done ministry with, the men that he has set an example for. He spends time with the men that he does all this life with and has showed them all these examples and taught them everything. And he does one thing for them, y'all. He serves them. He serves them. At this time, the Pharisees ruled the religious realm. You know, we're reading about the Pharisees and all that. They ruled the religious realm. They were known for their fine robes and extensive knowledge of the scriptures. They were often seen on street corners with hands raised, praying in loud voice for all to hear. They were quick to condemn even the smallest offender while overlooking personal acts of injustice. The Pharisees held the people in tremendous bondage to the law, careful that no unclean act was overlooked. They were appalled when they discovered that Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors and mingled with people who were diseased and demon-possessed because they considered them extremely unclean. Jesus, what are you doing? That's why they were asking the disciples, why does he eat with such scum? The Pharisees believed their position of leadership, including how closely they followed the letter of the law, entitled them to all the rewards of heaven. Jesus demonstrated just the opposite. The Pharisees overlooked the heart of the law, to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. By example, Jesus was teaching his disciples that those who want to be great in God's eyes allow themselves to be less in the eyes of man. A true servant leader offers to perform tasks no one else will do. To serve as Jesus did for the benefit of another shows the deepest level of love and humility. And the way Jesus served his disciples at this time is a way of humility. He washed their feet. He did this in an act as an example to his friends. In John 13, we read about the beautiful time that Jesus had with his disciples when he washed their feet. And this is what Jesus says, or this is what the scripture says in John 13, verse 12. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was even doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." Jesus is calling us this morning to serve in areas that don't look that great to us. But he's calling us to serve in ways that show humility and that show love, that show patience, that show kindness, and that shows grace. He goes on to say in 15, verse 15, "I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are no greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." It says in Luke 22, when Jesus is having the conversation with his friends, breaking the bread and giving the wine, he says in 19, Luke 22, he took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and he gave it to the disciples saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Friends, it wasn't just about remembering Jesus, but it was remembering all the things that Jesus did and all the examples that he set and all the beautiful things that he told his disciples and he's telling us to do. Verse 20, it says, "After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you.'" Jesus did not only sacrifice his time, he didn't sacrifice his motives. The main thing that Jesus sacrificed was his life. Not only did he give up his life to spend time with the tax collectors and the sinners and the scum of the world at the time, but he gave up his life for me and you. can we just do something really quick? You know, it's just kind of hard to keep going after you read scriptures like this, you know, without taking some time to reflecting on the Lord. So can we just take some moments, church, just to reflect, you and me, on Jesus, the man who Jesus was, the beautiful man that Jesus was with his love and his patience and his service. We come to a time as a church in communion. That's why these tables are set up. Let's just do that. Let's just bow our heads, close our eyes. And as we're doing that, we ask the leaders who are in charge of the tables to come. Go ahead and come to your tables, leaders, to get set. And all of us here in this room, as the leaders are getting set, all of us here, I want us to reflect on Jesus Christ. I want us to reflect on the Jesus that spent time with Matthew. I want us to reflect on the Jesus that spent time with the tax collectors. I want us to reflect on the Jesus who served his friends and that served others that were in need of love. This morning, friends, in this attitude of prayer, we just want to invite the Lord to come and to continue to put the names on our hearts, whether that's our coworkers, our children, the people that are out in this community, whoever that is. Lord, we invite you to come and lay those names on our hearts. Father, we ask, Lord, we come as a church humbly before you, asking, Lord, the gifts that you have created inside of us, Lord, we believe that you are the author and the creator of all. Father, we come to you inviting you, Lord, to come and to show the gifts that you have in us, Lord, and that these gifts that we have, that we wouldn't be scared to use those, that we would step out on faith and just see what happens. Father, this morning we take time to reflect on your son, Jesus Christ, the man who came to set an example and to die for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Friends, as a church at Life Point, when we do communion together, we invite you all to be a part of communion. If this is your first time here, we invite you to come to one of the tables that is around you if you feel comfortable in doing that. The leaders that are at the tables will lead you through some times of scripture and prayer as you take the bread and you take the cup. But as you go to these tables here in a second, may we be reflected on the ultimate sacrifice and the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So friends, we'll have the lights set to where you can be intimate with the Lord. If you want to come to the table, come. If you want to sit where you're sitting, sit. But we invite you at this time to come. So friends, come and know that he is good.